Well, good morning, everyone. Well, here we are keeping God's Feast of Tabernacles. For the last few days, God's church has been on the move, traveling to keep God's Feast of Tabernacles, traveling either by car or plane, in some cases boat. Now, the word tabernacle means temporary dwellings or temporary abodes. The Feast of Temporary Dwellings. Ancient Israel were instructed to build booths to dwell in for the duration of the feast. And we can see that mentioned here in Leviticus chapter 23 and verses 40 to 43. Leviticus chapter 23, and we commence reading in verse 40. And you shall take for yourselves on the first day the fruit of the beautiful trees, branches of palm trees, and boughs of leafy trees, and willows of the brook. And you shall rejoice before the Eternal your God for 7 days. So they were told to rejoice, and we know for God's people today that we are to rejoice for 7 days, indeed for 8 days, for the Feast of Tabernacles in the last great day. And you shall keep it as a feast, verse 41, to the Eternal for 7 days in the year. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. You shall celebrate it in the 7th month, and you shall dwell in booths for 7 days. All who are native Israelites shall dwell in booths, that your generations may know that I made the children of Israel dwell in booths when I brought them out of the land of Egypt. I am the Eternal, your God. But for God's people today, we stay in hotels, apartments, or other places of temporary residence. We may rent a home, a house, but most of us would stay in hotels or apartments. But why travel and then reside in temporary dwellings? Why travel a distance and then to stay in temporary dwellings? Well, the answer lies in the meaning of the feast. You know, brethren, we are pilgrims on a journey to a city or a homeland. We are pilgrims on a journey, and it is to a city and homeland. Now, a pilgrim is a traveler who is on a journey to a holy place. He's traveling, he's on a journey, and he wants to go to a holy place. You know, back in the 1600s, the pilgrims or pilgrim fathers traveled to a new land. They had to leave because of a volatile political environment, and they fled to the Netherlands from England, and then went on to Plymouth in Massachusetts so they could have religious freedom and they could worship God in the way that they wanted to. So they were pilgrims who traveled way back then. Brethren, we all have traveled various distances to be here. We have traveled maybe short distances or long distances. For the brethren down in South Africa, in Port Elizabeth, they too have traveled, some to a long distance, others a short distance. It is certainly a different routine from any other time in the year. It is a unique time when God's people come together for 8 days to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and also the last great day, this period of time. And there's no other time like it in the year. And it is indeed the highlight of the year. And it's a journey to a holy place. It is here that God has placed his name for us to worship him and to observe the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day. So we're here to keep this, to observe this feast. And we look forward to rejoicing before God and to once again go over the things and to be reminded of things, to hear new things about what this feast is all about. But we can look back at feasts gone by. We can go back and we can think about feasts that we have kept, and we can have different memories different things. For me, the Feast of Tabernacles in 1964 was the first feast that I kept. And it was in a place called Prestatyn in North Wales. And this was a very exciting time for me. I had never kept the Feast of Tabernacles. It was my first feast, as I said. And it was the feast of where I was baptized. And I remember it very specially. I do remember the brethren coming from France and from Germany. And they had different translations for them. They had to be translated for them. And it was a wonderful time. And there's been many, many other Feasts of Tabernacles that I look back on. And I know that you can look back on as well and remember them. In Psalm 42, verse 4, the writer of this psalm is looking back to happier days. In Psalm chapter 42 and verse 4. Psalm 42, verse 4. It says, when I remember these things, and he was going back over, remembering, I poured out my soul within me. I put my whole being into it. I traveled. I did things. I was worshiping God. He said, I used to go with the multitude, with the group of people coming together. And I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, praising God, joyfully doing this, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast or a holy day, this pilgrim feast that we're on. And he was looking back to better days. And for us too, we can look back on, but maybe not necessarily have to be better days. We look back at different days. Days that we can say are different in a number of ways. But we certainly have been truly blessed with wonderful feasts in the enduring Church of God. Inspiring feasts. Feasts that strengthen us and gives us great purpose to keep going forward. In the early days, when the children of Israel kept the feast, they observed it in Jerusalem. Families would save and then travel to Jerusalem for the, first of all, the spring feast, then the early summer feast of first fruits, and the autumn feast. And this feast was very special. That was the Feast of Tabernacles. They would, of course, build booths. That's what they had to do. So what did they do besides building booths, which they were told that they would need to build to sleep in? Well, they attended the temple services. They would go to service. They would visit with relatives and friends, maybe those that they hadn't seen for some time. And they would be visiting with them. They would be spending time with them and rejoicing with them as well. They would hear God's way of life through his law expounded, explained, and read. We can see here in Deuteronomy chapter 31, in Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verses 10 to 13. In Deuteronomy chapter 31 verse 10. And Moses commanded them, the children of Israel, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the appointed time in the year of release, at the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel comes to appear before the Eternal your God in the place which he chooses. And that was the place that God chose, and he still does that today. And it's right here in Tyler, Texas, where we're meeting, where God has chosen. And also for the brethren down in South Africa in Port Elizabeth. And you shall read the law before all Israel in their hearing. So God's law was read out. They were going through things once again. Verse 12, and gather the people together, men, women, and the little ones, everyone, and the stranger that is within your gates, that they may hear, that they may learn to fear the Eternal your God, and carefully observe all the words of this law. Carefully. Not just be kind of casually, but carefully observe. But to do, to carry out the words of this law. And that was important. Verse 13. And that their children, who have not known it may hear and learn to fear the Eternal, your God, as long as you live in the land which you cross the Jordan to possess." So the children were also to be instructed. And if they had not known these things, they were to be taught them. And that was important. That was important. So when they kept the feast, God's law would be expounded. They would rejoice in song. They'd be singing and singing before God. They'd be enjoying meals and fellowship. And that all sounds familiar. Well, brethren, that's what we do. That's what we are doing. And when we keep the Feast of Tabernacles, we do these things. We don't build booths, but we go and live in temporary dwellings. We attend services. We visit. And we see those that we know in the church. We meet new people. We talk with them. We hear God's way of life expounded to us. And it's through His laws and the amplification of His laws. And we would rejoice in song, enjoy praising God's name, which is an important part of the services. And we would enjoy meals and fellowship, and we would rejoice in that way. So God's Feast of Tabernacles reminds us that we are pilgrims. Of course, it also looks forward to the reign of Christ on this earth. Now, pilgrims are travelers. They're wayfarers, sojourners, on the move with no permanent residence. If you just go back to Psalm 42 and verse 2 this time, we see here in verse 2 of Psalm 42, "My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." That great desire there to thirst for God and His ways. And then it says, "When shall I come and appear before God?" To come before God and to appear before God. A desire to go God's way, to grow and overcome. And we desire to come and appear before God where He has placed His name. We come here and we come to hear, to learn, to listen, to be educated more and more. For us brethren, as pilgrims, life is a journey with an incredible destination. It's a journey of faith. And it's a journey that we're willing to take. But while we do it, we have to exercise faith. It's a journey of faith. And like the children of Israel wander through the wilderness, living in temporary dwellings before reaching the promised land, we are making our way, our journey, to eternal inheritance that has been promised to us. We are heirs of salvation. Heirs of salvation. Now the Apostle Peter mentions about pilgrims, and he's writing to them. We see here in verse, right at the very beginning of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, and he's writing to the pilgrims in different locations. And Peter refers to the scattered Christians of his day as pilgrims. They were sojourners, temporary residents. That's what they were. And he also mentions it here in chapter 2, verse 11. First epistle here of Peter, 1 Peter, chapter 2 and verse 11. "Beloved," says, "I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims." So the Apostle Peter here stresses to the brethren that they are sojourners and pilgrims. And just back to the first chapter, and which we read, but verse 11, he says here that just the latter part of verse 17 of 1 Peter 1, is to conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear. So have that right fear, that correct fear, and you're sojourning, we're sojourners. So pilgrims do not put down roots. If they do, they cease to be pilgrims. In Hebrews chapter 11, we see powerful examples of men and women who exercised great faith. They believed and trusted God. And there are examples for us to follow. And we often refer to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, if you just turn there, of the faith chapter, as we call it, of people with tremendous faith. They trusted God. They looked to God. But we just see a couple of verses here in this chapter, in verse 9 and 10 and 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 9. Here, speaking of Abraham, it says, "By faith Abraham sojourned in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." So that's what Abraham was looking for. He had wealth and possession, but he didn't set his heart on them. He set his heart on something else, a city which had foundations. But that city, the maker and the one who set the foundations is God. And that city is spiritual Jerusalem. In verse 13 of the same chapter, "And these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them." They were there. They knew that there was going to be a tremendous reward. "And they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland." They were seeking a homeland, and it wasn't on this earth. It was something far greater. So our roots are not to be in this world, brethren. What are our highest goals and aspirations? What are they? Is it great wealth, physical security, our job, material things? Well, they're not wrong themselves. But our highest goal is to be born into the family of God. And all that that means, that's our real goal. That's our main goal. That is the goal that we have. The other things are insignificant compared to that goal. But still, we have to take care of those things. And they're not wrong in the right way, applying the right principles and applying God's laws in relationship to wealth and security and material things. So seeking God's will and purpose in our lives is what we want to do, brethren. We want to do that. What is God's will? What is his purpose? What does he have for us? The people of God are strangers and sojourners in this sick and deceived world, on our way to our homeland, that is the kingdom of God. So traveling to keep the Feast of Tabernacles and staying in temporary accommodation and following a different routine portrays that this is so fleeting, that this life is so fleeting and temporary. We as the people of God are seeking something permanent, because all the things in this life are not permanent, but we are seeking something that is permanent. We desire and are setting our sights on a city whose builder and maker is God, as we've read, that holy Jerusalem. And that's what we are striving to do as a people of God, something that's permanent, that will last forever and ever. You go back to the Psalms in Psalm 48, and the first three verses of Psalm 48, it's looking at a wonderful time that is ahead. Psalm 48 verse 1. "Great is the Eternal, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, in his holy mountain, beautiful in elevation, the joy of the whole earth, in Mount Zion on the sides of the north, and the city of the great King. And God is in her palaces. He is known as a refuge." They're speaking here of the wonderful world tomorrow when Christ will be ruling on this earth. In the millennium, people will be taught to go up to Jerusalem to learn God's ways. And they will want to do that. And if they don't, well, they will be shown what they should do. And they will have to learn and do that. Now for weeks and months we have been planning to keep the feast. And it's a very exciting time of the year. In fact, the highlight of the year for God's people. The highlight of the year. To come together in this way and to rejoice before God, to worship God, to be strengthened by the things that we hear, to be reminded of the very meaning of this feast. We have made our pilgrim journey to our Jerusalem, if you like, to here in Tyler, Texas, and for the brethren in South Africa is Port Elizabeth. And that's what we have done, brethren. In Psalm 84, and the first five verses, 1-5, Psalm 84, Psalm 84 and verse 1. It says, "How lovely is your tabernacle, O Eternal of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Eternal. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. And even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Eternal of hosts, my King, my God." It says, "Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage." And our hearts must be set on our pilgrimage, brethren. We're on our way, always moving forward towards God's kingdom. So our lives are not to be dominated by the world's values and customs, its philosophies, its ideas. We've rejected them. The world's values are going down and down. Its customs are wrong. They're false. And so many of them, as far as religious customs are concerned, are based on idolatry. And we have rejected that. And the philosophies and the reasonings and the ideas we do not want. So let's look at some points to keep in mind as we journey as pilgrims to our new and permanent homeland, the kingdom of God. The first point, as pilgrims, our journey is made up of different experiences. We have different experiences, brethren. Different things happen in our lives. And if you just look upon the journey as a pathway, we have smooth paths and we have difficult paths, difficult terrain. We have obstacles to overcome. We have trials and tests. And we have adversities. We have difficulties and we have to do that, brethren. We have the trials and tests. We have things to overcome. We have to overcome difficulties and problems. And Satan will try to divert us from our path. We're on a path, brethren. And we see here in Psalm 119, verse 105. 119, this tremendous psalm, and so much in it. But one verse here in verse 105. David says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And we can say the same, brethren, understand that principle. Your word is a lamp to my feet, we can see, and a light to the path we're on. But Satan will try to divert us off from that path and put us onto other paths that may seem nicer, might seem more scenic, but it's not the right path. No, brethren, we're on God's path now, and the light, God's word, is a lamp to our feet. We want God's word. We read God's word. We study it. And we want to go that way of God's word. And that is on this path that we are on. But it is a difficult path at times. It is hard at times. It has tests and trials and problems. And they come our way, brethren. We can see here in Acts chapter 14 what the Apostle Paul had to say. In Acts chapter 14. Recorded here by Luke, but in Acts chapter 14 and verse 21 and verse 22. Acts chapter 14, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, that's referring back to Derbe, and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, and strengthened the souls of the disciples, and going back there and strengthening them, encouraging them, helping them, and exhorting them to continue in the faith. So that was encouragement that the Apostle Paul and others were giving and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So there are tribulations and difficulties that we go through. Other times our path is good. It's nice. It's sort of downhill. And we're progressing very well. So there's different experiences. And pilgrims will have difficulties as they travel, but they'll have good days. And we have many, many good days in God's church. And then we have difficult days. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 10. Paul writes here in 2 Corinthians 12 verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake, for when I was weak, then I am strong. So he was willing to suffer, to do the job that he had to do, that he was willing to do, but he suffered in it. But he said he takes pleasure in them, because he understood they were for his good. Because it says, when I am weak, then I am strong. He needed them, kept them close to God, and he looked to God all the time to give him the help and the strength. So Paul knew that trials were necessary. They test our mettle. And God wants to see if we will be loyal to him through good times and difficult times. And that does make up life. And as pilgrims who are on a journey, they have difficult times, difficult terrain, and then other times the path is very easy. It's a song that's just about keeping going. Keep at it. Keep right on to the end of the road and keep right on to the end. Though it may be long, and let your heart be strong. We have to be strong through this. Keep right to the end. Though you're tired and weary, still journey on till you come to your happy abode. And so that's what we have to do, brethren. We have to keep going on. There would be no turning back or just stopping. Building a house, so to speak, spiritually, end the journey, and so no longer be sojourners. Because a sojourner does not have a home. He doesn't stop and put his roots down, and that's it. He keeps moving. He keeps going forward. In Luke chapter 9 and verse 62, Christ has words here in Luke chapter 9 and in verse 62. Luke 9 verse 62, right at the very end of the chapter. And Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. So we put our hand to the plow. We don't look back. We look forward. We go where we are looking. And our focus, brethren, is on the future as pilgrims. Our direction is going forward. And we follow where Christ leads. We go where Christ leads and shows us. And Mr. Bryce has brought this out a number of times in sermons. We go where we are looking. We are looking forward. We go forward, looking towards and going in that direction. And just like a farmer who is plowing, he will look forward. They will look in a forward direction, so they will not be going astray and going in the wrong direction. So we have to do that, brethren. A horse leads, and we don't look back. No matter what, we keep going forward. And just as a plowman will keep going forward if he wants to plow straight and have a straight furrow. And that's what we have to do, brethren. That's a commitment that we have made. The third point, is along the pilgrim journey we need help and encouragement. We need God's help and encouragement, and it comes many times from others, brethren, from other people. We need that. We need help on the journey, because on a long journey, as pilgrims travel, they have to give support to each other. A pilgrim, when they were traveling, it's tough, it is hard at times, and some people are stronger than others and go through a difficult, just feeling physically in trouble and needs to be helped, needs to be encouraged. Come on, keep going, it's all worth it. And we need God's help and encouragement, and it does come from other people. God will use other people. Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians writes this way on this subject. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 3 and 4, it says, "Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble," any difficulty, tribulation, "with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God." So God gives us encouragement through others. And as we then have been encouraged from others, we encourage others as well. God encourages us through other people. So we need that help. We need to give support and encouragement to the brethren, to encourage each other. And God's ministry needs encouragement as well. We all need encouragement from time to time to keep going. So we ask God, please use me to comfort others. We should ask God, allow me to comfort others. It's a wonderful thing, brethren. We appreciate when we're encouraged and given words of good advice and helped and encouraged. It is good for us, and we like giving it, and it's good to receive it when we need it. And when we don't, when we are feeling fine and things are good with us, we want to give it and remember others who are going through difficult times, as a pilgrim will have to go through difficult times. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11, just one verse here, "Therefore, comfort each other," that is, encourage each other, "and edify one another," or build one up. That's what we can do, brethren, just as you also are doing. Continue doing it, Paul is saying. And if we do it, good, and keep doing it all the time, encouraging people and edifying one another, building people up, not putting them down, on the contrary. So we can do that by phone calls, by a card or email or some visit, to help others on their journey to the kingdom of God. That's the third point. On a pilgrim journey, we need help and encouragement. The fourth one is, as pilgrims and sojourners, brethren, we need rest along the way. We've got to take rest. A pilgrim will take rest. He can't keep going continually day after day after day on a journey, whatever way they're traveling. Need rest. And brethren, that's where we have the weekly Sabbath, the holy days, our rest to the people of God. The Sabbath, a rest. We can stop from our labors, physically and spiritually as well. It is good for us. We stop from physical things, and then we concentrate on the spiritual things. We replace the physical activities, the physical time, and replace them with spiritual things. Same on the Sabbath and holy days. On Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9, Hebrews the fourth chapter and verse 9, Hebrews 4 verse 9, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God." Yeah, rest for the people of God. But that word there is sabbatismos, and it means the keeping a Sabbath. or a Sabbath rest. And it is a rest. And it's clear instruction that we are to keep the Sabbath. And how it can be then rendered, therefore remains the keeping a Sabbath for the people of God. That's the duty of a Christian, to keep the Sabbath, the seventh day. But it's a time of rest. It's a time of help and support. And we get that, and we are helped in that way. In Matthew chapter 11, and verse 28, Matthew 11, and verse 28 to 30, Christ is speaking here, and he says here, very encouraging words here, in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, "Come to me, all you who are laboring and are heavy laden." And life sometimes feels that way, a lot of heavy things. "And I will give you rest," support. It says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." And rest is there. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." When we can do that, when things get tough and difficult, we just ask God and Jesus Christ here to carry the load, to carry the pressure, and to give us rest. So pilgrims need rest, physical rest, and we too, brethren, need spiritual rest, and indeed physical rest as well in our life. It's important that we get adequate rest as well physically, but certainly spiritually we need that rest. And rest, and the holy days do that. God's weekly Sabbaths do that, and it is a time that we recharge our batteries, and it gets us going again for the next week. The fifth point, pilgrims need a leader. They need a leader. Our leader is Jesus Christ, and he is the one out ahead leading his church and showing the way. Christ said, "I am the way," and he meant the way to salvation. He said that. See in John chapter 14, 5 and 6, verse 5 and 6 of John. John chapter 14 and verse 5. John chapter 14 and verse 5. "And Thomas said to him, Lord, do we not know where you are going? And how can we know the way? And Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." And Christ is saying here that I am the way. I'm the way. Follow that way. Go that way. And also that he says that he is the truth and the life, eternal life. And that is the only way, brethren. It is through Jesus Christ that salvation will come, the way of salvation. Just back to the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 10 and 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10. Paul says here, "Night and day praying exceedingly that we may see your face and perfect what is lacking in your faith," the desire to come, to see them face to face, to help them to overcome certain things that they were lacking in, and lacking in faith. And verse 10, "Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you." Direct our way to you, that God would work things out, that he would be able to be with them. He looked for that way. And of course, we know that we have to have leaders. And leaders are important. And we see leadership all through God's word. Those who were leaders. And in our time, we had in our time, brethren, Apostle Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong taught us that God does not rule through his church. He taught us that. Not by a committee of a whole lot of people. Not at all. It was through one man. He taught us that. And God used him powerfully to be that leader at that time, and to raise up the Philadelphia era of God's church. Notice through one man, it was Mr. Herbert Armstrong, that God used. Now our human leader is Mr. Charles Bryce, and we follow him as he follows Christ. And he does, and he follows the apostles, those in the Bible, and he follows the apostle in our time, Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. And we're grateful and thankful for his leadership. And he does not go way off here and off there and compromising here and compromising there, but staying with the truth and following God's word and following the apostles, including Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. So pilgrims need a leader. They need somebody to lead the way. And we want to follow right leadership, godly leadership. And that's what we are doing, brethren. The sixth point, the fifth one was, we need a leader. The sixth, pilgrims must have faith and courage, along with endurance and perseverance. They must have that. They must have faith and courage, along with endurance and perseverance. Pilgrims have a difficult time. They're traveling. Whatever way they're traveling, by foot or by, in those days, certainly going back, people traveled by horses, but different modes of transport. But they have to have faith and courage and have that endurance and perseverance. In our lifetime, brethren, we look at the faith and courage of Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong. And God worked powerfully through them, through Mr. Armstrong. But he had to practice and display great perseverance. He also had to practice and show and have, and the help, of course, that came from God, but he had as a human being, and they had, Mr. and Mrs. Armstrong, to have that faith and courage, and along with perseverance. Time and time again, they needed to do that. They had to show that over and over. People used to say, when this work folds up, and they expected that. Well, Mr. Armstrong did not. He kept going, and we can read about that in his autobiography and in other writings. He kept at it, and he kept at it and at it, and he wouldn't let go because he knew it was God's work and that God was working through him, and it raised him up. He had responsibilities, and he had that faith and courage, and along with that, that perseverance and endurance, and he's a tremendous example to us today. We see an example of this in Joshua chapter 1, in Joshua, where God encourages Joshua to keep going and not to give up and to be courageous. In Joshua chapter 1 and verses 6 and 7, we can read a few other verses here in this chapter as well. He was encouraging Joshua, who had take over from Moses, to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. God was going to be with him and show him and direct him. But he says here in Joshua chapter 1 verse 6, be strong and of good courage. Be strong. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. I have given this, I'm going to give it to them, that is a promise. But you, Joshua, be strong and good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may prosper, or act wisely, as the margin says, wherever you go. Don't deviate. Don't compromise. Stay with it. But be strong and courageous and observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. What you had learned, in other words, and what you had heard, you do. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Eternal your God is with you wherever you go. And Joshua never forgot these words. He would remember these, and he kept going, and he did that, and he carried it out. Be strong and of good courage, and don't be afraid, don't be fearful. And again in verse 18, just the latter part, well, verse 18, whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your word, in all that you command him, shall be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Take the action. Be strong in your action. Don't be afraid. Act and obey and do. But he is encouraged to keep going, to exercise faith. We see in the New Testament church that they started out with real courage and faith. In Acts chapter 5, verses 27, Acts chapter 5, there in the early days of the New Testament church, in Acts chapter 5, how that they set out here, and they had their difficulties, their tremendous zeal, and they knew God was with them. Christ had left them, but they were filled with tremendous goal and purpose. They were filled with God's Holy Spirit, and they were going to carry out what they had to do. In verse 27 of Acts chapter 5, but when they brought them, that's some of the disciples, Peter and John, and they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did we not strictly command you not to teach in this name, in Christ's name? And look, you have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. We're going to do that. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you murdered by hanging on a tree. And they just kept on going. We see in verse 41 and 42 of the same chapter. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were accounted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah. And they kept on doing that, brethren. The Apostle Paul had great faith and courage, a wonderful example of faith and courage. And all the sufferings that he went through, all the difficulties, did not deter him. He had that real faith. He trusted God. He knew God was with him. God had called him for a tremendous purpose. And he had that faith and courage, and we can learn from them. So, brethren, we have to keep that in mind, that pilgrims must have faith and courage, and along with that, endurance and perseverance. They are qualities that a pilgrim will have, and we are pilgrims on a journey. The seventh point, a pilgrim must not lose sight of the great goal ahead. They have a goal. A pilgrim will have a goal. They are heading for something. They want to attain that goal. And we must see the great prize, the great goal that is ahead for us, brethren. That is to be full members of God's family, eternal life in the family of God. That is hard because we are very physical. We see things in physical ways, and still that's what God wants to give us, eternal life. And in his family, as great, powerful spirit beings, to carry out his will, to serve, and to serve under a team with Christ on this earth, and Christ the King of Kings, and going to rule on this earth, and then others who have gone before us will be there as part of a great team. And we want to be part of that, brethren. In Philippians chapter 3, Philippians chapter 3 and verses 12 to 14. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Paul writes here, not that I have already attained, are and already perfected. No, I haven't attained. I haven't reached it. I'm not perfected. But it says, I press on. I keep going forward, that I may lay hold on that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He says, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I haven't apprehended. I haven't yet received that. To lay hold on it. I haven't yet done that. But one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind, putting all those things that are past, the things that can pull us down, and reaching forward,
striving forward to the things which are ahead. He was looking towards God's kingdom, looking towards being in God's kingdom and to be a powerful spirit being. He says in verse 40, "And I press, I strive towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ," the reward. And Paul here knew that he had to strive all the time. And his eyes were always Godward. He was thinking that way. And he poured his whole life into serving and carrying out the commission that was given to him. So he had that tremendous goal, and we must keep going on to the promised land, brethren, the kingdom of God. And we can see it. That is it. If that isn't, what is? There's nothing else. And it's all made possible with God's help and power, and so reach our homeland, the kingdom of God. That's with God's help. God gives us the help, and through the power of his Holy Spirit, yielding continually to God and submitting ourselves to walk humbly with God, that he will help us, he will strengthen us, he wants us to make it. He is there right behind us all the way, striving for God's kingdom, and with his help, and always recognizing that, brethren, as we go forward, going in a forward direction. As the words of that song, "Keep right on to the end of the road," as it said there, "Keep right on to the end of the road, keep right on to the end. And though the way be long, let your heart be strong, keep right on to the end. Though you're tired and weary, still journey on, till you come to your happy abode." And brethren, that's a wonderful thing, happiness and joy that will be so much greater than anything that we experience now and still. And that can be great as part of God's church, God's family, begotten children. So brethren, that's what we have to seek for. That's what's ahead for us. We can see that goal. We always want to keep that goal ahead of us all the time, the great prize, as full members of the God family. That's what we are striving for. And in our closing scripture, we turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 to 16. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. Speaking of all those who are mentioned here, and all who have gone on ahead, who have been faithful, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but have seen them afar off, were assured of them, embracing them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. So brethren, our hearts and minds must be on the pilgrimage that we are on. Remember that we are just passing through, on our way to our homeland, to the city, Jerusalem, and God's kingdom. And as we keep this feast, we are picturing that this life is so temporary, and that the existence that really counts lies ahead in God's family. So at this feast, brethren, let us celebrate our pilgrimage with great rejoicing, believing our destination is near its end. We will then put down roots for all eternity in our real homeland, the kingdom of God.